just completely not there? How about if you're trying to give them instructions and you're trying to share something important for them that they need to understand what to do, and you're laying out steps, step by step by step? This is what you need to do. Now, this is important, you might say. Make sure you do this before that. And they're like, okay, sure, whatever. Gotcha. Okay. Then you leave them with the task, or you let them do what they need to do. And what? They mess it all up, don't they? Because what's the problem? They're not even listening to your directions. Have you ever written a letter where you told somebody step by step and you actually wrote it out? And you actually took time to think of your words? And you chose your words properly and thought out this whole thing? And they don't even read it, right? Frustrating. Anybody have that happen? Right? Yeah, it's frustrating, isn't it? Well, today, as we get into the truth of God's Word, I want to say that what the Bible is God's letter to us. It's God's love letter, if you will, but it's God's letter. It's God's book of instructions, right? It's kind of corny, kind of cool, I guess, whatever, you can decide it. But the acronym that somebody gave to the Bible, it's just kind of half a joke, but it's a neat way to remember how to spell the Bible, maybe. B-I-B-L-E, they've said basic instructions before leaving earth. There's some truth to that, right? God has given us instructions that we need to know. And how sad when we as people don't read His instructions. The Bible is our owner's manual for our life. And we don't read the instructions. And then what do? Inevitably, what? We mess it up, right? And some people mess it up and then they blame God. God, how could you let this happen? God's like, I gave you my instruction manual. Thousands of pages in that bad boy. It's detailed. It's timeless. Why didn't you read it, right? Well, today, as we move on and finish up our series, we're going to talk about that. We've been working on the series called Devotion, part 3 today, and here's our verse. You know the verse, but we're going to look at it again because I'm hoping that we hide it in our heart as we move forward. We preached on this the past 2 weeks, and we're going to probably finish it up today. It says, the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now. So here we go. The time is here when what? The true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. You know, if you're a true worshiper, part one was that you worship the Father. Remember 2 weeks ago we talked about idolatry and how if you worship anything else but the Father, you're not really a true worshiper of God. You're worshiping something else. And many people worship football. Today's a Super Bowl. Football's fine. I saw the kids with jerseys. You know, that's fine. It's not a sin to like football. But Jesus needs to be number one in your heart, right? Football shouldn't be number one. Jesus needs to be number one. And we talked about this a lot. The message will be up on the internet probably tomorrow. I didn't get to put it up yet, but you can download that if you missed a couple weeks ago. The true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And I say you have to worship the true God. He's the Father. You have to worship the true God. You're not a true worshiper if you're worshiping your boat or your girlfriend or your wife, husband, boyfriend, whatever, children. You're not a true worshiper. Democrats, Republicans, you're not a true worshiper of God if anything else has the God's place in your heart. The throne is only for Jesus on your heart, and that's it. Anything else, you're not worshiping God the way you should. Last week, we talked about the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit, right? We follow God's spirit. True worshipers are those who say, God, lead me, and where you lead me, I will follow. Right? Where you lead me, that's where I'll go. So as people who worship in Him spirit, we seek to follow His spirit. First of all, we need to hear His spirit, right? We need to hear His spirit. That means we press into Him. That means our prayers aren't just like, now I lay me down to sleep. You know? Our prayers are deeper than that. Our prayers aren't just, God is good, God is great, thank you for this food. That's fine. But we follow His Spirit and we press in deeper than Adam. We cry out to God and say, God, I need you today. If your kid is sick, God, I need you to come and heal. You're the healer. You're able to do it. Heal my child. You pray as you would want somebody else to pray for you. And you listen for His Spirit. And you believe God talks to us, which He does. And you press in to hear His voice. That was last week. Today we're touching part three. The true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And that means we read and obey God's Word. If you're taking notes on your bulletins, these were the blanks I believe that you would have so far. And that picture on the back of your bulletin is good. I'd really like you to have a bulletin this week to at least take home with you. If you don't have it now, at least take it home. I think it'll be a blessing to you. A lot of people are filling out the blanks, so if you missed one, talk to somebody. But part three, the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, meaning we read and obey God's Word. We read and obey God's Word. Some churches are really good. Well, some churches, they miss part one. I'm not going to that church, right? Step one, they're worshiping the wrong God. I'm not going to that church. There's something wrong with that church. Some churches are really good at step two. And they follow God's Spirit, and they spend a lot of time in prayer, and when they have altar calls, 5,000 people come up. Everybody's kneeling and weeping and crying out for God, which is awesome, right? They're seeking Him. But they're really strong in number two, but they fall short in number three. And there's no biblical foundation. And it's all emotion, which is, emotion's good, but we also need the truth of God's Word, right? Do you see that? Some of you may have been to churches, which, awesome, the worship leader was great. And there's just no preaching. And then you'll have times where the worship leader says something like this. Worship's going so well today, we don't have time to open the Bible. We're just going to pray and seek the Spirit. Sounds nice, but we need the truth, man. Right? We need the truth. Why? Because your pastor can be crazy, me included. You need the truth. You need to know. We need to say, you know, hopefully we have God's Spirit working, but we need the truth to evaluate what's happening, right? You can have spiritual gifts, tongues, prophecy, interpretation. The Bible says we look at them according to the Word to see if they're biblical or not. Right? What's the highest authority? The Bible, right? Well, God is, but God can be speculative. We can sit back and think God hates us, and then eat strawberry shortcake and say, hallelujah, God is so good, right? And God hated you yesterday after strawberries, He's good, because we're emotional. We're all over the map. That's why we need the Word, because the Word is stable. God's given us this as a gift, because sometimes we can think we hear God, and we're wrong. And we need the Word to say, that's not who God is. I was wrong. That when we're down and say, Jesus doesn't love me, then we go to the Word, and the Word says, yes, Jesus does love you. Well, how about when I don't feel it emotionally? The Bible says maybe your emotions is an idol in your life. It doesn't matter whether or not you feel it. You know it because it's true. And truth is important. Some churches are really good at number three. They're really good at the Bible, and the Bible is the truth. But they don't worship God in spirit. And they'll have their Bible, but there's no life. That they can read the passage of Scripture, and it's an awesome Scripture, but nobody's growing, and nobody's changing, and nobody really gives a rip, if you're being honest, because they've ignored the Holy Spirit. And God's Spirit's leading them, and they're like, no, 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 God doesn't speak to us today. No. Gifts of the Spirit, no, 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 no. Pray for my grandmom, she has cancer. No, because God doesn't heal anymore. Well, where's that verse at? It's not there. right? But they're really good at this, perhaps, but they miss God moving, and they miss God's voice, and they have no passion. And when they sing worship songs, there's just, you know, it's real crusty, and people are just kind of, if they stand, they stand. There's no heart, there's no passion, there's no clapping, there's no singing, there's no moving, right? There's no dancing, there's no jumping, right? I don't really want to go to either church, to be honest with you. I don't really want to do either. I want to be at a church that worships Him in spirit and in truth. I want a church that's alive, that's vibrant, and I think that's what God wants. In fact, I'm pretty sure the verse said He's searching for those who worship Him in spirit, that we pour out our heart to Him, but yet we realize we can be wrong, and we realize our hearts are deceitfully wicked because the Bible tells us. So we seek God, and we want the Word. And we're hungry for the Word. We're hungry for the Spirit, and we're hungry for the Word. And I believe that's what God wants for us. It's good, right? Amen. All right. Now at this point, I just have a craving to see stuff get blown up. Anybody else? Anybody like explosions? You want to see some fake explosions, Gene. Gene's been around the real ones too much in the army. No, today they're safe. He's like, no, Pastor Dynamite, no. Today, through special effects, it's safe. So this is what I want to do here today. I want to blow some stuff up, and I think that God wants us to blow some stuff up in our lives. So, you ready for this? Okay. And today we're going to blow up some stuff. Let me pull my plunger up. Ready? Ready for this? One, two, three. Awesome. I broke my plunger. Here we go. We're going to blow some stuff up today. And what are we talking about blowing up? Well, we're talking about blowing up the Bible barriers, okay? We could talk about the Word being the truth, and we need to get in the Word, but no matter what, we can have these barriers that we come to the Bible with, and it keeps us from getting in the Word. I don't think any of us was surprised when I preached God, we need God's Word, and we need to read God's Word, right? Was anybody shocked at that one? No, you weren't shocked, right? So, we need to learn to blow up barriers in our life. What's keeping us from God's Word? Let's look at a few barriers today. Here's one. But I'm too new to understand the Bible. I'm too new. That I'm too new to this Christian stuff. I don't really know anything about it. I can't possibly open the Bible and understand what the Bible says. Let's read this verse on your screen. 1 Peter 2, 2 through 3. It says, like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. This verse talks about how, as a new Christian, your attitude needs to be to the Word. Okay? When I had, well, my wife actually had Amber, but when we had her, okay? I remember holding her, and she was hungry. She would be hungry for milk. And I used to do something, which was, I used to crack up. Because she's laying there as a baby, and her instinct is to latch on, right? You put the bottle to her mouth, craving, right? And she'd be laying there, and I would just take my thumb and just touch her lips. Be like, and she'd be like, and I'm like, and I'm laughing. I'm like, look, look, watch this, Donna. Watch this. Boop. And I'm like, look, this is great. Every time I would touch her lips, she's thinking it's, you know, a bottle or something. Reaching for that thing like crazy. She was craving milk like a newborn baby. That's how we should be as new believers. We should be hungry for the Word of God. We should be craving this Word. You know? This is natural. Why? So we can grow into a full experience of salvation. How many people ask Jesus to come into their heart? Then they spiritually starve to death. You ask Jesus into your heart by Sunday, and by Monday you're not even a Christian anymore. Because you'll go home and you'll think, oh man, I don't even know if that was real. I thought it was God. Maybe it was just my emotion. And you'll miss out on what God wants to do in your life. Peter says, cry out for this nourishment. Since you've had a taste of the Lord's kindness, you know God is good. Cry out to God and say, God, I want to be hungry for your Word. I want to get into your Word. If you don't have a hunger for God's Word and you're here today, okay, honest truth, 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 you can, if you were to gamble, you could probably gamble on this. And it's way more accurate than playing your birthday for the lottery or your fortune cookie number. Here's the thing you can gamble on, okay? You can gamble on the fact that if you don't get into the Word, you will not be here in a year. You can take that to the bank. And I've seen it as a pastor time and time again. And I don't say that to rebuke you. I say that as I hope to wake you up and let you know this is important and I love you. And Jesus loves you. And we want to see God's blessing in your life. I don't want to see you hurting. I don't want to bump into you at ShopRite in 2 years and you're depressed and looking down and you're hurting. I don't want to see that. I want to look at you and see you growing. That you weren't like an infant left on a stoop to die, but that you've grown up. That you've tasted the Lord's goodness and you've craved for more. And God nourished you spiritually through His Word. You need the Word. Amen? You do. You need the Word. I'm too new to understand the Bible. No, you're not. Because God wants to feed you. Just like me, eventually I would stop doing that to Amber and I'd actually give her the bottle. God will give you what you need. And He will give you the milk of the Word and allow you to grow in Him because He loves you so much. He's a good Father. He's better than me. And He will take care of you. This myth of I'm too new to understand the Bible, we need to blow up. So I'm going to ask somebody to help me blow this myth up. Ivan, can you help us blow up this myth today? Thank you. We don't like that one. We're moving on from that one. Let's look at the next myth we're dealing with today. But I've heard it all before. Right? The next barrier is, I've heard it all before. I've been a Christian a long time, Pastor Jim. I don't need the Bible anymore. I've done the church thing. I've flipped through all the pages. I don't need it anymore. A couple verses we're going to share. 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says, dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk to you as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in the Christian life. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready. What a judgment upon the church. Paul says, you know what? You guys are all spiritual infants. It's fine to drink from the bottle when you're an infant. When you're 8 years old, right? If my daughter runs around, hey, how you doing? Good to see you today. Gum, 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 and just drink it from the bottle. What's wrong with you, right? If she's driving a car, she's 17 years old. Everybody, you know, you might sip a coffee. She's like this. Drink it from the bottle, right? What's wrong with you? How about when you eat dinner with somebody and you prepare a meal and they come over? What would you like? Oh, just formula, please. What? Just formula. If you don't have your own, I'll have mine. I like Similac. Here you go. Can you run it under warm water for me? It's like you're 35. What's wrong with you? Freak show. It'd be a freak show. Listen, Paul says that's how they are spiritually. He says you should be grown up and mature. You should move beyond the little things in Christianity, because now at some point you should grow up spiritually and you move on from the milk of the word to the meat of the word. And he's judging this church saying, you guys are spiritual infants. You've been saved for a long time. And I can't even treat you like you're spiritual. And that's a rebuke, isn't it? Another verse. Hebrews 5. The writer of Hebrews says, there is much more we would like to say about this. He's talking, but listen to what he's saying. But it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and you don't seem to listen. Woo. Did you ever tell somebody you are dull? You don't even seem to listen. He says, you've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's Word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food, I believe is the next word. You should be teaching others. And instead, you need someone else to teach you the basic things over and over and over again. The idea of I've heard it all before, that barrier's a little bit ridiculous. Because if we read the Bible through once, twice, 8, 9, 10 times, each time the Holy Spirit's speaking to you and you're growing deeper. Am I right? You're growing deeper. You never come to the place where you read it all. Because as you read it, God will speak to you the things you need for that day. That's why we call it our daily bread. Right? It's what you need today. So to that barrier, I say we're going to blow it up. I say, I don't want to be spiritually dull. I say, I want to grow in my faith as God wants me to. So we need to blow this up. All right. Let's see. You want to stand up? We'll let you do it. Ready? All right. Awesome. Blow that thing up. No more excuses. Let's move on. But I'm not into reading. I'm not really a reader. First thought here is, last time I checked, it's 2011. Right? Here's a little note for you. I'm not a natural reader either. I do not read novels. I just can't. I've tried. I did read the Narnia series, though. Awesome. But I really don't spend a lot of time reading novels. I read books for ministry. I read my Bible. But I'm not a real big avid reader. But you grow when you read in ways that you wouldn't understand. You need to read. You need to grow. I'm not into reading. You can get the Bible in so many different ways, so many different versions. If you can't read, if you really have reading issues, right? You can get it on CD. You can get it on MP3, iPod. In fact, a lot of really good versions you can listen to online for free. For free. I bought the whole Bible on, I think it's, might be NIV, it's with Max McLean. He's an actor, he's awesome, and he's reading the whole Bible. I think I paid like $100 for it on CD. It's like a million CDs. You can listen to it online for free, actually. So I'm thinking, I got ripped, right? I think on BibleGateway.com, I think you can listen to it. There's things you can do. I'm not into reading. Let's talk about this. Listen, God's Word changes lives. It really does change. What changes lives? God's Word. Right? The preaching of God's Word. You'll never hear me say, the piano player changes lives. In some churches, oh, the worship leader changes lives. No, it's God's Word that changes lives. It's His Holy Spirit that anoints and changes us. Worship is our response to God and what He's done, and response to the Word. But it's not about the guy who's singing and playing. It's about God, right? It's about His Word. God's Word changes lives. Listen, you will grow in your faith if you read. I'm not into reading. Then you won't grow. Look at this. Romans 10:17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Your faith comes by what? Hearing the Word of God. So when you go home and you read your Bible, and I even encourage you to read it out loud, you will grow in your faith. Have you heard people say, well, I don't know if I really believe anymore? Then my follow-up question I would love to ask is, how much time have you been spending in the Word? Because if you're saying, I don't know if I believe, a whole lot of time you haven't been in the Bible. Not consistently. Maybe you do this when you're in trouble. Jesus, I need you now. Let's just try this for real. Ready? Jesus, I need you now. Just as the Lord has destroyed other nations in your path, you will also be destroyed. Wow. Okay. If you refuse to obey the Lord. Let's try this again, right? Jesus, speak to me. I need to know, should I marry him or not? Then the woman told Elijah, now I know for sure that you are the man of God, so that the Lord truly speaks through you. Did you get your answer? I didn't. One time we did an illustration where, could have did it today, would have been awesome. But we handed everybody fortune cookies. And we had you open up your fortune cookie and read your fortune. And you would have to ask a deep question of the universe. Like, you know, whatever deep question. You open up your fortune cookie and read it, and you get some off-the-wall response. Like, you know, the man who cleans his house has happy wife. Like, okay. You know? What? But doing this and pointing in an emergency, this isn't the way to hear from God. Can God do something supernaturally? Yeah. Has He before? Yeah. Has He done that with me? Yeah. But this isn't the way to be mature in your faith. Right? God doesn't like shortcuts. He wants us to grow in our faith. It only comes from reading and hearing the Word of God. You will grow strong in understanding. Look at this. All Scripture is inspired by God, and it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses what? The Word to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. So if you have no Word in your life, okay, no Word at all, you're not going to grow in your understanding because God inspired it to teach us. So no Word, you're spiritually dull. You're not growing, okay? It corrects us. No Word in your life, you're not going to receive the correction that God wants to give you. It teaches us to do what is right. He uses it to prepare and equip us to do His good work. Part of it, when we grow up in our faith and mature, God wants to use us for His glory. And if we're not in the Word, we're not going to know what He wants us to do. Right? The reason why God doesn't kill you the moment you say, Jesus, forgive me, amen, bam! God takes you to heaven. The only reason why He doesn't do that is because He has good things for you to do. He wants to use you and bless you and use you as His instrument to preach the gospel and bring healing to the world. If we're not in the Word, we won't even know. You will not grow in understanding. Look at the third one. You will grow in character. You will grow in character. Let's read this verse. I just need to see something real quick. Where am I at? I'm right here. Cool. Okay, I'm back. You will grow in character. Hebrews 4:12 talks about the Bible. For the Word of God is what? Alive and powerful, sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and spirit, between the joint and marrow. Here's what God's Word does, right? It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before His eyes, and He is the one to whom we are accountable. God's Word makes us grow in character. As we read the Bible, we'll say, even maybe before we read the Bible, maybe we'll pray and say, God, strike them dead. They get on my nerves. And then we read the Bible and God says, yeah, you need to love them and forgive them. And maybe they wouldn't be so nasty if you were actually nice. And you're like, oh. And God convicts you of your own sin, right? And your own judgmental spirit and your own hypocritical nature. Because He wants you to grow in character. If you don't get into the Word, you're missing out on this. But I'm not into reading. You know, God's Word changes lives. We grow in our faith and understanding and character. And if we don't get into the Word, we're not going to grow in these things. Right? So to just say, I'm not into reading, to that, I think we need to blow that up. Okay? I think we need to blow that up. Who's sleeping over here? Leo! I'll come back to you. Leo, would you mind blowing this up for us? Awesome. Thank you, Leo. Blow that thing up. We don't like those lies. Moving on. But I'll never be able to understand it. Have you heard this one? Have you felt this one? I can never understand it. When I look at it, it's like it's all Greek, even though it's not, right? Look at this verse, 2 Corinthians 1:13. Our letters, Paul says, have been straightforward, and there is nothing written between the lines and nothing you can't understand. Okay. Now, for those of you who've heard of the Bible code, have you heard of the Bible code? Where they'll take the 50th word and try to predict the future and John Lennon's assassination or whatever. If you haven't heard of it, don't worry, you're missing nothing. Okay? But if you've heard of it, there's hidden meanings in the Bible. What did Paul say in the Bible? Our letters have been straightforward. Hello? There's nothing written between the lines. But if we take every 100th word, that's not impressive. God doesn't want us to look for the Bible code. He wants us to read the Bible. Right? If He wanted us to look and predict Ronald Reagan's, when he got shot, remember? People were like, you could find it in the Bible if you take every 4,000th letter. God would have just said, Ronald Reagan will be shot, but he will live. He didn't say that because it's dumb. It's that thought that scares so many people when they come to the Bible. They think, I can't understand it. Okay? Here's a thought, ready? Some really, really bad Bible teachers, even some who claim the world's going to end in May. Here's what they do, okay? They take a passage. First of all, that guy says Jesus did not die on the cross for you. Michael the Archangel did. That's Jehovah's Witness theology. It's wrong, but we'll deal with that more later. Here's his interpretation of Scripture. He'll take Jesus is riding on the donkey going into Jerusalem. People laid down palm branches and worshipped him on Palm Sunday. What do I think that means? Ready? This is what I think that means. Hang on. It means Jesus got on a donkey. Okay? And this might surprise you, but he rode it into the city. And as he rode it into the city, the people laid palm branches down in front of him and worshipped him. That's what I think it means. It's astounding to me, right? It's not physics, guys. Here's what he would do. Jesus wasn't really Jesus. Jesus is really a symbol for America. And as America would ride the horse, it's not really a donkey, it's really our economic structure. And as America is on their economic structure, and we move forward to the city is symbolic for, I don't know, the last days. And as America rides its falling economic structure into the last days, the palm branches symbolize money that falls from the sky, and God will give us blessings if you give any offering today. That's what these guys do. And literally, that's what they do. Jesus isn't Jesus, the donkey isn't a donkey, the road isn't a road, the city isn't the city, and Lord knows the palm branches aren't palm branches. It's absurd. It's literally absurd. Okay? There's nothing written in the Bible that you can't understand. So as a new Christian, I want to encourage you to get into the Bible. Now, can there be parts in the Bible that are complicated? Yeah, but it's not meant to be complicated. Sometimes we complicate it. And we have Bible study to help get through stuff. But the Bible is a whole lot easier than people think. It's a whole lot easier than people think. There's nothing written between the lines. Jesus, Palm Sunday, Jesus was literally Jesus, really the Son of God, really riding a donkey, who was really walking on the road, and they really worshiped them with palm branches, and he really went into the city. That's how you should interpret the Bible. It's right there, guys. Right? Have anybody heard people do that with scriptures? And they take things and it's not even what they say it is. And they would say, oh, it's really clear in the Greek that only I know. And you have to sit back and say, I have to take your word for it. No, you should be reading with me. You shouldn't take my word for it. We should do this together. So, pet peeve. But to that, man, can somebody help me blow that up? Chris has been waiting to blow something up. All right, Chris, we're going to pull up the plunger. Thank you. Blow that up. Wow. Let's move on. But it's too hard to get a handle on. The Bible's too hard. I can't understand it. Have anybody heard this before? Have anybody said this before? I want to help you today. I want to help. It's not, is it different than anything else you read? Absolutely. Can it be difficult? Yeah, impossible. No, you can get this. Let me show you a little bit about the Bible. Let's get acquainted with the Bible. This slide talks about the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. It was written for over 1,500 years, translated into more languages than any other book. Authored by over 40 different writers, penned on three continents in three languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, and it's the best-selling book of all time. The Bible's important. It's the living Word of God that changes lives. Some of the things that can be difficult to understand when we approach the Bible, and I always wondered this, right? Why isn't it in alphabetical order? Right? Why is it not in alphabetical order? Anybody ever think of that? Like, why isn't John under the J's? Because you're in church and Pastor Jim's like, turn to, you know, Mark. And you're like, M's? Oh, this thing isn't in order. You know, anybody? Genesis should be under the G's, right? Here's why. I'm going to talk about the actual structure of the Bible. I think this might help you. I hope you can see this screen. The Bible is really a library, okay? The Bible is really a library. It's a library of 66 books. Okay? So we should really look at the library like this. We have it all in one, but it's really a library of 66 books. And somebody just hurt themselves, but that's okay. We believe in healing at our church, so the Lord is good. You have two shelves. You have the Old Testament and the New Testament, right? The Old Testament and the New Testament. What's the difference between them? Here's the difference. The Old Testament was before Jesus was born. The New Testament is after Jesus was born. Okay? Do we have that so far? Everybody there? So, it's a library. There's a whole lot of books, 66 of them. But there's two parts, major themes, before Jesus was born, after Jesus was born. Old Testament, New Testament. Also, the Bible is divided up into types of literature. Now, this might help you, but the Bible is organized. and it's organized into types of literature. When you open up your Bible and you see Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, these are books of the law that God gave Moses, okay? The next section would be the books of history, okay? Do you see that? Which would be Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and so forth. 1st, 2nd Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. These are books of history. The third category is poetry. Did you know there's poetry in the Old Testament? In poetry, we see Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Song of Solomon. What's it say? Ecclesiastes. Books of literature, or poetry, rather. The last category in the Old Testament, four categories, is the prophets. These are men that God called to preach a particular message, and they wrote what they preached, and they wrote about their lives and what happened during that. God led them to do that. So the Old Testament, maybe it'll make more sense to you. It's grouped by the law, history, poetry, prophets. It's four big sections. The New Testament is similar to the Old Testament in that there's four categories. It opens up with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which are the accounts of Jesus. We would also say the Gospels. It's the messages of Jesus. And these first four books is where we see Jesus being born, walking, preaching, healing people, dying on the cross, and rising again. That's in these first four sections. The Old Testament has several books of history. The New Testament only has one. That's the book of Acts. This is the history of the early church. Jesus died, rose again. The Acts is a book that outlines what the Holy Spirit did at the first church. Moving on, we have letters to those churches. If you look at the Old Testament, most of it's letters, right? Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, right? 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, the letters of John, 1st, 2nd John, 3rd John, Jude. These are letters written to churches and to people in the early church. Timothy was written to Timothy. The last section in the New Testament is prophecy. Who wants to guess what that book is? Revelation. It's a book of Revelation. There are many books of the prophets in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, there is just one, and it's the book of Revelation. Revelation, by the way, if you look at Revelation chapter 1, there's a blessing for those who read the book. It says God, you can find it. I don't want to get too distracted, but it says God blesses those who read this book. There's a blessing. God wants us to understand the Bible. Maybe this will help you picture it. It's really a library. It's really like going to your library. There's 66 books, and when you walk into the library, it's not alphabetical, right? You'll look, there'll be biographies, right? There'll be, I don't know, poetry, other stuff. Maybe that'll help you. You have a copy of that on your paper, too, if you want to look at that later. And I do want to encourage you, come out to Bible study. We spend more time and we grow in the Word. Question, what's the best version? Here's my answer, okay? The one you can read. I'm practical. If you haven't figured this out yet, we're just practical here at Solid Rock. We're not real fluffy. We just really, really love Jesus. We really seek His Spirit. We really preach His Word. What's the best version? The one you can read, okay? So let's look. We have the King James. I grew up on King James. Is there anything wrong with King James? No. Can you read King James? Absolutely. I love King James. I have a bunch of them. I trust the King James. You can read the King James. We have the New King James. Is New King James good? Yes, it is a good translation of the Bible. I love New King James. Pastor Bobby and I, when he first got saved, we were both in the New King James. And man, that's the only one we read, because we love that version. There's nothing wrong with New King James. NIV. Many churches use NIV. Is there anything wrong with the NIV? No. There's nothing wrong with the NIV. It's good. It's reliable. If you have that, use it. And New Living. That's what I use here. And that's what I love New Living. I just like the way they break up the books a little bit. To be honest, I love the New Living because they take the long sentences of Paul at the beginning of the epistles and they put periods. And they break up the sections and it helps me get my mind around what's happening. And also, what I love, they put dimensions in feet and inches. So when they tell me how big Noah's Ark is, it's 450 feet instead of X amount of cubits. I ain't got a cubit, but I could picture 450 feet. So that's one of the things I love about New Living. These versions are good. Are there bad versions? Yeah. But if you stick with these, or if you have something else, ESV is good, which is English Standard Version. The Holman Bible is good. American Standard, New American Standard, Revised Standard, good. Watchtower Bible, no. New World Translation, no, that's the Watchtower one. The Mormon book, it's not even a Bible. No. If you have any questions, talk to me. But there are a lot of very good translations. And to be honest with you, you can go to Walmart and buy all of these. If you can buy it from Walmart, sounds weird, right? It might not always be true. But if you can buy a Bible from Walmart, it's probably a good translation because it's reputable. It's not some weird fuzzy thing that somebody's trying to just sell. So which version is the best? The one that you can read. So the Bible's too hard to get a handle on. Listen, we can get a handle on it. We need to blow it up. Gene, can you blow this up for us? You don't want to blow this up? Will you? All right. I got you already. Here we go. We're going to have Gene blow this up. Thank you, Gene. But I don't have time. Here's the last barrier we're going to get into today. But I don't have time. You have 24 hours in a day. You have the same amount of time as Bill Gates. You have the same amount of time as Lee Iacocca did when he was rebuilding the automotive industry. You have the same amount of time as our president. You have the same amount of time as any major CEO of any corporation. You have the same amount of time as me. God's given us all 24 hours a day. You get to choose what you're going to do with that time. You don't have time to read? You have time to do what you want to do. And that's the truth. You do what you want to do. You do. Where can you find time to read? Practically speaking. Okay? Read before you go to bed. In fact, if you're tired and have trouble falling asleep, read the Bible. It's not a sin to fall asleep reading the Bible. Have you ever thought that? The people who have thought that, I think I thought that it's a sin because we're saying we're not paying attention to God. No. God wants us to fall asleep thinking about His Word. That's not sinful. That's probably good. Read the Bible before you go to read when you wake up. You can drive in your car and put it on a CD, right? You can put it on the back, in the bathroom, on the back of the toilet, not to be crass, but just out of sincerity, you can find time to read, right? You can find time. You're going to do what you're going to do. And to that, I just say that's just silly. We're going to do what we want to do. And we need to blow this up. We need to blow this one up. Miss Natalie, would you mind blowing this one up for us? Thank you. Let's talk about this. We know the verse. God's calling us to worship Him in spirit and in truth, seeking His Spirit, hungry for His Word. Notice I said follow His Spirit, read and obey His Word. We need to read it to know what it says, and then we need to obey it. In fact, that's what it means to be a disciple. Jesus said, go into all the world, right? Preach the gospel to all nations, right? Jesus says, make disciples, the one thing He told the church, teaching them to obey. Go, make disciples, baptize them, and teach them to obey. That's it. Teach them to obey. We want to obey Jesus. My question is, what will you do today? What will you do leaving here? I hope when you leave, those barriers and maybe other barriers that you've had, I hope we've blown them up today. I hope we've realized that, you know what? God's Word is more important than that. I'm not going to grow if I'm not in God's Word. I'm not going to be mature. And I hope you leave here with a renewed passion to grow. Because the truth is, a year from now, oh, I want us all closer as a church family. And I want new people in here as well. And I want us all moving forward, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. I don't want to see your life messed up. His Word will work for you, right? It's worked for people for thousands of years. It will work for you. He will speak to you. He will renew you. He will give you clarity. When you have decisions, what should I do? The Holy Spirit will speak to you. And He'll show you through your Word, or just give you a word that lines up with the Word. And He will work on your behalf. But I want to encourage you to do that. Let's go ahead and pray today. And bow our heads. Jesus, we love You, God, today. Lord, we give You praise this morning. I pray, God, that You would help all of us here today to make a commitment to You, a commitment to Your Word, that we would worship the true God, that anything that is in front of us that we love more than You, I pray that we would cast that out of our lives and we would love You, number one. I pray that we would follow Your Spirit in all places, and I pray that we would read and obey Your Word. In Jesus' name. Jesus is good. We can trust Him. And we can move forward knowing that He is God. And He's in control. Read His Word. Seek His Spirit. Keep Him number one, and we will be the people God's called us to be. And you know what? That's a good thing. Can you imagine what that would be like if we look around our church and this whole place was filled with people who were hungry for God's Spirit in accordance to His Word? Right? We were seeking His Word. We didn't just have Spirit. We didn't just have Word. But we're alive and being the type of people who God is looking for. It would change everything. I want to encourage you this week to get into the Word and seek His Spirit. Can you do that? Every day, find time to do that. Ron Luce, he was a youth speaker. He really had an impact on me as a young pastor. And he used to say that it only takes 24 hours to lose your fire for God. And I think that's true. 24 hours to lose your fire for God. You can leave here today excited for the things of God. And if you're not in the Word tonight or not in the Word tomorrow, you start to wane. You could have the greatest experience with God, and if you're not seeking Him all week, by next week you're doubting it was even God. Seek God. Press into Him. We're bombarded with things of this world. We need God. Do that.